Welcome to Inspired Living with Mark and Kim. Every Wednesday, Mark and Kim, along with their special guests, will explore thought-provoking topics and ideas that promote creativity, self-help, healing, happiness, and well-being to inspire you on your spiritual journey. Each week, Mark and Kim will discuss different paths to achieving a more spiritual, balanced, happy, and healthy lifestyle. Topics will elevate consciousness and range from metaphysics to the human and social experience, and all things spiritual. Welcome to an inspired community that offers support, encouragement, and new ways of thinking. Mark and Kim are tested, certified, and professional spiritual mediums, metaphysical teachers, healers, and spiritual advisors with their own individual spiritual practices in Seattle, Washington, and Los Angeles, California. You are the inspired and the inspiration.
You are the inspired and the inspiration. Hello, inspired listeners. Welcome back to another Wisdom Wednesday of Inspired Living Radio here on the Ohm Times Radio Network. Wherever you may be in the world listening from, we love our inspired listening community. And today is going to be a fun, interesting, inspiring show as we go beyond mindfulness with our special guest that's joining us live from Israel. But before we get to that, there's a few things that we need to catch up on and go through. And most importantly, bring on my co-host, Kim Salkin, founder of Love First, who is in Richmond, Virginia, joining us. We've got an international call today. We're Seattle, Washington, Richmond, Virginia, Asheville, North Carolina, and Israel. And so we're going to just make this a global event today. Hi, Kim. How are you?
Hi, Mark. Good afternoon, Inspire listeners. It's great to be here. Isn't it wonderful, Mark, that we've got guests that call in from all over the world to join us, to share with us their wisdom, and it's just beautiful. So I'm excited about this show today and happy to be here. If you'd like to connect with me, you can do so at lovefirst.info. If there's anything that I can do to support you in the way of readings, healings, or hypnosis, please reach out. On Fridays, I do a live Facebook event called Aloha Freedom Fridays, where we talk. We have conscious conversation, Q&A, mini readings, and this Friday's topic is going to be on valuing your energy because you value you. But back to our show today, we've got a great show ahead of us. And if you are interested in calling in, if you've got questions for us, you can do so at 202-570-7057, or you can send them through on our Facebook page, which Mark and I will be checking. If you'd like to interact with us on social media, you can find us under Facebook, under Inspired Living Radio, Twitter and Instagram, Inspired for Us, Google Plus, Inspired Living with Mark and Kim. You can also listen to all of our archives on Ohm Times Radio, Podbean, SoundCloud, MarkLanehart.com, YouTube, iTunes, and LoveFirst.info. So if you missed the live show, there's all kinds of ways in which you can catch up on the podcast. And there's so many different topics that we've covered over the years, just in place to support people on their path. And so hopefully it's assisted you in some way along the way, too. Every month we do have an inspired affirmation. And this month is, I love and honor my body. Such an important thing that so many of us forget to do. We forget how much our body does for us. And we have all kinds of demands on our body. And it's important that we love, we care for, we have complete gratitude and appreciation for all it's done for us over, you know, our lifetime, the many years that we've been on this earth. So, Mark, back to you. How's everything in Seattle?
Well, everything is great in Seattle. It's a little cloudy, as you can, you know, expect in a January in Seattle, Washington, the Pacific Northwest. Today's, you know, it's interesting. I love how the synergy and the synchronistic work that we do, what people call synchronistic, I always call it flow. But, you know, it was 19 years ago, today, the 23rd of January, that my life literally changed with a phone call. This was the day that my brother was murdered, and I got notification of his passing. And you know, it's been 19 years, but it's just amazing that that was a transformational time for me, because I wouldn't be on the radio with you, Kim. I wouldn't be doing the radio show. I wouldn't be doing my spiritual practice that I do today. It's a date that, you know, forever changed my pathways, my belief systems, how I see the world to this day. And, you know, the reason that we do the work that we do, Kim, is because of our own tragedies and transformation that has put us on this path of inspiring people. And that's why we say you are the inspired and the inspiration. And so I want to just give an inspired listening shout out to my little brother, Michael, who would be in his 40s now, which is crazy to think, but he was murdered 19 years ago at the age of 21. And it's just always a reminder to keep moving forward. And, you know, there's just, you know, don't regret growing older for our listeners out there. It is a privilege denied to many. And so it's a bit interesting synchronistic day for me, the 23rd of January. But we're going to bring some positive vibration and inspiration into our planet right now as we get ready to welcome our guest and talk about mindfulness and what's waking up to this precious life all about. And again, if you want to learn more about the work I'm doing here in Seattle, Washington, you can go to marklanehart.com, internet search the Intuitive Prospector. Love to help you do a little spiritual prospecting for your own spiritual gold. And you too can catch me. That's what I was telling Stephen. We have the whole week covered, Kim. I've got Metaphysical Mocha Mondays through Facebook Live at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Then we have Wisdom Wednesdays, which we're doing right now live on the air all around the world with our inspired listeners. And then Friday, you've got Aloha Freedom Fridays. So we're covering the whole week with inspiration, readings, guidance, help, support, you know, and it's a difficult time in the planet. So we got you covered. So with that, I want to talk about today's topic, which is what's beyond mindfulness and how to wake up to this precious life. Our guest today is Stephen Folder. He's a PhD, and he's a founder and senior teacher of the Israel Insight Society, the foremost organization in Israel teaching mindfulness and other meditative practices. Stephen, for the last 25 years, has guided thousands of people in Israel and worldwide in exploring Buddhist teachings, practices, and perspectives, because it really is about perspectives. We all sit at the same circle. We just have a different perspective of where we sit in that circle, right? So he's also well known for applying these methods to promoting peace in the Middle East. He has written 14 books on health-related subjects. And today's topic, What's Beyond Mindfulness, it's been a bestseller in Israel for 18 weeks. And Stephen is a leading peace activist, and he is, you know, been doing this for a long time. So I think, Kim, you and I are going to get some knowledge and inspiration as the co-host today. The book was endorsed by Jack Kornfield and James Baraz, and this book itself, and I've read it, goes way beyond mindfulness, and it's filled with important concepts such as happiness is found in being, not having, to the impact of deep listening and sharing our suffering as a way to create empathy and build bridges amongst war-torn groups. I mean, he's right there in a war-torn environment that's been going on for thousands of years. So with that, I'd like to welcome our very special guest today, Stephen Folder, as we talk about his book, What's Beyond Mindfulness, Waking Up to This Precious Life. Stephen, welcome to Inspired and Radio with Mark and Kim.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Kim and Mark. I'm delighted to be here. It's a great privilege, and it is amazing that I can talk from so far away and be part of a kind of collective. And I just love the inspiration. Inspiration means breathing in. It comes from the Latin. And so in some way or other, everyone who is joining this program right now is breathing in together. And it's, for me, a nice symbol.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, let's just take a second and just find the magic in the moment and do exactly what you said. Breathe this moment in, because I think it's very important. So I'm just breathing it in.
Thank you for bringing that up, Stephen, because that's exactly what our world needs today, is for us to come together in unity. And for just acknowledging that that's what we do when we come together on Wednesdays from all over the world, we come together in unity to share and to learn from one another. So thank you for reminding us of that.
Yeah, there is a certain power in presence. One of the places, if you like, that's beyond mindfulness, is where mindfulness becomes part of our life, then it's no longer a technique. It's not something that is similar to going to the gym. It's actually entering our life constantly, whether we're washing up in the kitchen, we're going for a walk, we're changing the diapers of our kid. Mindfulness becomes a way of living. And then something very deep happens to everything in our life. Our life is transformed by that sense of presence. We can feel it right now. If all of our listeners are just now feeling where they are, their feet on the ground, what is going through their minds, what is going through, what is in front of you, what do you see, and how are you, what's in your heart right now. So we all of us have the power to kind of arrive into this moment in a total way and stay there, and then really becomes life transforming.
Oh, wow. So, Stephen, tell us about this book. How did this book start to manifest, and how did you put the pen to paper to bring the words alive? I mean, it's an international bestseller, and it looks like it was on the bestseller list for 18 weeks. That's fantastic, and congratulations. But what was the mindfulness of bringing this book together, is what I want to say.
yeah, sure. I've been practicing for 40 years. I first actually benefited from the British government. I'm British. The British government sent me to India as a lecturer in biochemistry. And I found myself next to the Ganges in India. And I picked up Indian spirituality. I gave Western knowledge, but I picked up Eastern knowledge. And so 40 years I've been practicing. And it just occurred to me that after all that time and talking to so many people and teaching really thousands and thousands of people, I need to actually make a summary of what I've learned in these 40 years. And so the book is a product of that. And I really intended in this book that this book will not be a beginner's first grade mindfulness book. There's so many of them. There's thousands of books that just talk about mindfulness. This book is really about how to live an awakened life. In other words, if you have an awakened point of view, how do you view your workplace? How do you view sickness if you or others become sick? How do you view peace and conflict, which is something I've been involved with very intimately here in the Middle East? How do you view money? So what does life look like from an awakened point of view? I decided that had to be, and I don't really see books that deal with that much. Their books are instructional, what is mindfulness, but to actually bring an awakened perspective to our daily life, I don't see so many books doing that, and that was the trigger, in a way, to write this book.
Mm-hmm. And you've written 14 books, so would you recommend people read the other books before they build up to this book, or is it a book that you can just jump right into more? It's more in the advance of what you're saying, but is it something that a beginner, somebody that's just starting down the spiritual path, could jump into this book and realize its full potential, or would they need to start with a different book?
No, they can start right in, because even though, and this is, by the way, a big surprise, I have to tell you that because it's, in a way, starting from the beginning, starting from issues like ethics and going all the way to awakening, I thought that, well, it wouldn't really be a bestseller, just a few people, but it's been massive, massive in Israel, where it first appeared in the Hebrew language. Mm-hmm. And mostly people said it's because the writing is friendly, it's user-friendly, it's humorous, it's easy. So there is no problem in talking about awakening if you do it with a language that is not abstract or esoteric, but is really down to earth. Use the language of the street. And that's mm-hmm. the language I used in the book. And in that case, it doesn't matter what you talk about. You can go all the way into the place of awakening. And that's actually what happened. And I was in a shock when it was on the number one of the list of instructional books in Israel for 18 weeks. I was in shock myself. I didn't realize but I think there's one more thing that is important. People are ready for teaching like this.
Mm-hmm.
And there is, in a way, a world crisis of meaning. People are desperate in a way to find new meaning in their lives beyond the material world, beyond the world of just shopping and politics and conflict and stress and environmental catastrophe. People want meaning. And I suddenly realized this is the time for all of us who are interested in meaning to kind of wake up. And that's another reason I think that the book did so well.
I love that too. And I love when it resonates with people, right? That you said the words are simple and people could resonate with the concept and not get lost in the minutiae of, you know, some of the writings that are, you know, are out there. And we've had guests on the show. We're in our fourth season of Inspired Living Radio, and we've had guests on the show where they're talking and I'm like, I have no idea what you're saying. I've read the book, but it's hard to get into. And that's what I love about this book is that for me, it really did. It is about meaning. I mean, like I said, 19 years ago, I received a phone call from my dad that changed my life forever, 19 years ago, this day. And it changed my belief system. It changed how I look at things, the meaning of life, what is meaning, you know, when somebody dies and passes on, and all the stuff that you just talked about, you know, the cars, the house, the things that you can't take with you become irrelevant and you can't take them with you anyway. So for me, you know, 19 years later, it's really powerful for me to be sitting here to this day talking with, you know, you and Israel and sharing this vibration and message out with our global audience. So thank you for that. And I love the synchronicities of how things flow.
Absolutely.
So, Stephen, when we come back, we're going to be going to our first break here. But when we come back, I'd love to dive in the book and maybe you could share some a practical exercise with us. Just get more details about the book. But we're going to be back here in 2 minutes. Going to be talking with our guest today, Stephen Folder from Israel, Beyond Mindfulness, Waking Up to This Precious Life. This is Inspired Living Radio. You are the inspired and the inspiration.
The future of internet radio is here. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive dedicated community. Are you seeking answers to life questions? Would you like to connect to a departed loved one? Are you suffering from pain, stress, or anxiety? Kimberly Thalkin is a tested, certified, and professional psychic, spiritual medium, energy healer, hypnotherapist, and the founder of Love First, where life transformations happen. Love First services support, guide, and empower individuals by connecting them to their highest potential to live a healthier, joyful, and meaningful life that's filled with purpose. All services can be done by phone, Skype, or in person in Encino, California. Please visit lovefirst.info. That's LOVEFIRST.info for more information.
Hi, I'm Kelly Fox, host and astrologer of The Astrology Show. Each week, I'll give you access to the current transits, which are a valuable tool that provide astrological information to help unlock the potential each of us has. Understanding the stars can help steer us in the right direction to make better informed choices. So if you're wondering what's going to happen in your week ahead, be sure to tune in to The Astrology Show for guidance, Mondays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Death Row Dogs Rescue is a 100% all-volunteer, no-kill rescue 501c3 nonprofit organization. We are run solely by volunteers who dedicate their time and resources for the past 30 years to rescuing homeless pets from the streets in Los Angeles and surrounding areas, and from city and county animal shelters who are on death row, often moments away from being euthanized. We provide housing, medical care, and training to these neglected, abused, and often severely injured animals. Donate now, save a life, and allow these beautiful dogs to experience a home life filled with love. All donations are greatly appreciated and are tax deductible. Please visit www.dethrowdogsrescue.org deathrowdogsrescue.com to see some of our amazing dogs who need homes. Do not breed or buy. Make adoption your first option.
And welcome back to Inspired Living Radio with Mark and Kim. I like that last message, make adoption your first. I like that, Kim. It's always a good reminder from that commercial. But wanted to say welcome back to our Inspired listeners, our very special guest today, joining us live from Israel, Stephen Fulder, talking about his book, What's Beyond Mindfulness, Waking Up to This Precious Life. And Stephen, as you were talking, one of the things that you talked about, the words and how it connected, George Lucas said the same thing when he made Star Wars. He never thought it would become, he wrote this story and did this cheesy movie in 1977, and look at it where we're at all these years later, and what a phenomenon of the force that connects and binds us all together. An international, global story that resonates, and I think that this book can continue to resonate. We were very happy to promote and share with our Inspired listeners. But welcome back, Stephen. Thanks for hanging out with us today. Want to talk about your book and get into the details of your book. And your first chapter that you talked about in your book is, Have You Forgotten? Have we forgotten?
Yes. Well, let's say we haven't really forgotten. It's a poem. The first piece is a poem in which I question whether we're actually living on automatic pilot, and we're kind of acting out our life in a rather automatic way, and we've gone to sleep, or we forgot, and we forgot really to look into or inside reality. And in this poem, for example, I asked, do you see behind the eyes of someone else that you're facing? Do you can you watch the clouds passing by? Can you experience the touch of a leaf? I'm talking really about being in touch, which is something we know as a child, but then we forget because we get so busy. We go shopping somewhere. We go in our car. We think we've got to go out and go buy something. We don't know. What's our hands doing, what our feet is doing, what our breath is doing. We don't even know really what our mind is doing. It's just planning something, but we don't know it. So the first thing is, we haven't forgotten completely, but we have to wake up, and then we'll remember. And interestingly enough, the original word in the Pali language, which is the early Buddhist language for mindfulness, means actually remembering.
Interesting. Remembering. Okay. Keep going. I like this.
Okay. So actually, what I'd like to do is a small exercise with everybody. Is that okay?
Oh, yeah. Brilliant. Let's do it.
Yeah, okay. All right. Let's go for it. So we'll take a few minutes. And wherever you are, if you're sitting, standing, lying, or walking, whatever you are, wherever you are, if you can take a moment just to stop, and you feel your 2 feet on the ground, and get a sense that you have arrived. You're back here, in the here and the now. And the first thing you might feel is, well, actually, I'm alive. I'm here. Wherever the environment is, whatever is happening around you, I'm alive in this world. And not only that, I've arrived home, because we belong to where we are. We belong to this world. We belong to consciousness. We belong into awareness. So it's not just arriving. Mindfulness, or what's beyond mindfulness, is the real sense of coming home to our lived experience. So let's feel that now in the body, in our hands, in our feet. We can hear the sounds around us. We can look at the thoughts passing by. That's fine. But all through us there is a quality of awareness. We know we're alive and present right now in this world. and it's fine. It's perfect. We may have many, many problems in our life, but right this minute, we've arrived in a place that's actually perfect. I'm here, I'm alive in this world, and there's nothing wrong. So let's just take a few seconds. I'm not going to talk for a few seconds, just to feel that quietness of arriving home. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. And I want to say one more thing, that Kim, when she mentioned the affirmation of this week, she said that we should, in a way, love our body and acknowledge and have gratitude to our body. I just want to say that mindfulness itself is not a technical thing. It is actually love. When we think about what mindfulness is, we pay attention, we shine the light on what it is we look at. For example, our breath and our body, our hands, our feet, our tummy. But actually what is really happening is that it's love, because we are listening to our body, our breath, our mind. And this listening is like a mother listening to a child. We give it space, we pay attention. And if there's a pain in the body, we're listening to that pain and responding to it. The pain is simply the body calling for our attention, and we're giving it. So mindfulness is a lot more than just a technical process of awareness, of noticing things. It's actually giving love and care. And that's one step beyond mindfulness. So, okay, Mark, anything else coming up for you?
No, that was brilliant. I'm just savoring the knowledge and the words. And I love when we do that on the radio show, to bring some practice into, you know, our show as well. So, Kim, are you still there?
I am. I love
there
that
she is. Okay.
Exercise. Thank you, Stephen, because we don't take, you know, people are going to hear this and go, I don't have time. I don't have time. So what are the benefits of mindfulness? How do people's lives transform from making it a priority, from committing to this process? Just our normal way of being, right, is to rush. We've got appointments here, our mind is racing, all the things we have to do. So, but a lot of times people know there's benefits, then they go, oh, what's in it for me, right? How is this going
to
support me?
Yeah, absolutely. So the truth is, mindfulness doesn't require you to shut down, stop what you're doing, stay at home, and not engage in the world. Although sometimes you do realize through being aware that you're pushing yourself too much and you do slow down. It is true that it can help you see how you're living and have a perspective on your life and then make change. What mindfulness is instead of having the gaze or the perspective, the view, always out there, what I have to do, what I need to do next, what's missing, the money I have to get, the things I have to sort out, the things I have to fix, is all out there. It's what I have to do, and that generates a huge amount of stress and, as you say, and busyness. Mindfulness is turning the gaze to our inner life and taking responsibility for what's happening inside us. It's asking, what is our heart telling us now? And if we pay attention to that voice, we can say, maybe our heart is telling us to have a little bit more care of ourselves and others. But before we can realize that, we have to listen to our heart. The same with the mind. The mind can telling us, oh, I don't like this, I do like that. Oh, they're enemies, I hate them, I don't like these people, I like those people. Division, conflict, stress, anger, etc., irritation. That's what our mind may be saying to us. But if we look with mindfulness, training ourselves to be able to look what is our mind actually saying, we have a chance to be a master of our mind and not the slave of our mind. If we are master of our mind, we can direct it to more beneficial directions, to helpful places for ourselves and for others in the world. So it's changing the perspective and taking responsibility for what we are really doing and thinking and being, and from that place going out into the world and acting and doing what we need to do.
That is beautiful. I love how you say take responsibility, because that's what it all comes down to. We all have to be responsible and accountable, and we have to hold ourselves accountable too. When you talk about what we have to take time to listen to what the heart is saying, what does the heart sound like when it speaks to us?
Well, it's all the time giving us a music. For example, very simple things. Now I'm enthusiastic about something. Now I'm interested in something. Now I need something. Now I don't like something. Now I have a love arriving in my heart, a love for something, for somebody, for appreciation, for gratitude. Gratitude is a word that you used just before. So it's listening to the language of the heart. It doesn't mean that we only listen to the heart saying very lovely things and we shut down when the heart gives us trouble. Mark was talking about the this special day for him, recognizing 19 years since the murder of his brother. That's the heart saying that. So listening to the music of the heart, we gradually begin to be able to hear it. It's like sitting down next to a stream of water and listening to the sound of the water. So the heart is telling us something all the time. Once we begin to listen to what the heart is saying, we can actually refine it and we can say, right, I'm going to direct my heart language more towards compassion, more towards caring, and less towards conflict and defense. And maybe this is a good time to tell you that I've been working 15 years in peace work with Israelis and Palestinians out in the Middle East. And one of the things that we did, based on a Buddhist practice called metta or friendliness, and we would do peace walks in the streets of Jerusalem and Tel Aviv with Palestinians and Israelis, and the simple act of manifesting friendliness, opening the heart to everybody. So passers-by would shout at us, we would smile and be friendly to them. People would say, great, I really appreciate what you're doing. We would smile to them. A dog passes by, we would smile to the dog. It makes no difference. We would just walk through the streets slowly and steadily, showing that peace is possible and opening the heart to everybody that comes. And we made quite an impact when we did that.
Oh, that is, just as you were talking, it was like my tears in my eyes. That's just wonderful. And, you know, when you were talking about listening to the music of the heart, it's like sitting down next to a stream of water. It made me say, oh, gosh, who wouldn't want to return to that stream of water? You know, it's just very, very nice way to describe that. So when you talk about Buddhist practices and how it's been able to bring friendliness to the streets of Israel with, you know, Palestinians and the people from Israel, that's beautiful. What are some Buddhist practices that we can practice in our daily life to bring peace within ourselves and peace to others. Certainly Mecca sounds like one way to do that, a beautiful way to do that. Are there other ways that we can do this as well?
Yes, of course. I mean, the Buddhists are experts in inner space. It's been developed 2,500 years, and there's around 10,000 meditation practices in the Buddhist texts. So there's really, really a very rich field. So, for example, one place that is really helpful is, instead of fear, trust. In the Buddhist teaching, there is a big emphasis on the building of trust and finding life as your refuge. The last words of the Buddha, more or less before he died, were, be an island to yourself, and standing steady in your life, you will be able to resist the stormy seas of life. So there is another aspect is trust, which is about knowing that the world is not against us, having trust where we can, opening our heart to trust and confidence, standing our ground. We learn that in meditation too. It's part of meditation, which is feeling ourselves sitting like a rock, steady, ready for anything. Let the mind talk, that's okay. Let the heart talk, that's okay. I'm in the middle of it, I'm ready for anything. So that's one of the aspects. Certainly it helped us in peace work when we were experiencing fear of going beyond the comfort zone, so we needed a trust. Another quality is calm, or you can call it calmness, that we're not feeling that we have to run all the time, we have to push all the time, we have to be busy all the time. There is a certain calmness. We can be in the middle of our working day, but we will do things a little more quietly. So the sense of inner quiet and outer quiet, when someone shouts at us, we don't need to respond instantly. We can take a breath, we can feel our quietness, and then we can answer more quietly and more wisely. So taking those gaps in our life, the small stopping points, and the sense of calmness as we walk down the street or as we talk to other people, that's another aspect which is very important in the Buddhist teaching.
Yes, well, trust. I mean, you know, there's so many feel that life is there's not a trust or a connection to life in that way. So I could see where that would be very, very beneficial to see life as supporting us. And that, we're going to head into our break today, our final break. We'll be back in 2 minutes. Stay with us.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
Have you wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
One planet, 7.3 billion people, only one you. Life offers us many opportunities and learning experiences. Are you ready to explore and discover this beautiful planet, the life and energy all around us, the spiritual world, and what is unseen, along with your own personal soul adventure? Mark Lanehart, the intuitive prospector, is the spiritual connection you have been prospecting for. Internationally known as a tested and professional clairvoyant medium and spiritual advisor, Mark's work as a metaphysical teacher, medical instructor, radio show host, inspirational writer, and hiking guide are here to help you on a journey of self-discovery, healing, inspiration, education, and a whole lot of spiritual awesomeness. Dare to dream, dare to explore, dare to live. For more information on Mark's spiritual practice in Seattle, Washington,
please visit marklanehart.com or internet search The Intuitive Prospector.
Tune in to The Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World, with me, host Robin Fritz, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. I'll cover personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice, and more, all to help you tap your own intuitive and healing skills. No ifs, ands, or buts.
To protect his home and family from disaster, Steve used courage, wisdom, and his camera phone.
That should do it.
Way to go, Steve! By simply taking digital pictures of his family's important documents, Steve can always have them stored safely online, no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
And welcome back to Inspired Living with Mark and Kim and our special guest today, Dr. Stephen Folger. Thank you so much for being with us and just sharing some really beautiful things for us to think about when it comes to bringing greater peace and joy into our lives. So before we went to break, we're talking about some Buddhist practices that you've used in the Middle East, bringing peace to places that have not been in a place of peace, and then you shared some practices that we can use in our own daily lives. So, you know, these Buddhist practices, you've been one of the pioneers bringing Buddhist practice to the West over the past 40 years. Where is it going?
It's an interesting question. I think that Buddhist practice has arrived in the Western world as mindfulness. So people know mindfulness. They don't really know the whole Buddhist teaching, but mindfulness is very, very big. I was just invited to give a workshop in the British Parliament, which was actually at the last minute cancelled, on the issue of conflict. And it was interesting that it just showed me, and 100 members of British Parliament have practiced mindfulness, just an example of how widespread it is. So it's, I think what's happening is new ideas, when there's a crisis or when there's a difficulty, new ideas always come from somewhere else. And this is the time when new ideas and new practices are coming from the East in a way to help us in the Western world when we got pretty stuck in Western culture, in a very materialist world that we built. So I think it's going to be bigger and bigger mindfulness, and then gradually we're going to go into a place which is beyond mindfulness. I see mindfulness as a gate, and what's beyond mindfulness is the garden. It may not be everybody that goes through the gate into the garden, but when we go into that, many, many people will do and will discover more and more teachings and practices, which I would say go to the world of spirituality. Here, we're in a way, another territory. It's beyond mindfulness. It's about intimacy and a total connection between us and the world. If we are connected to the world more deeply, we will save the world. We are not going to pollute it and destroy it if we are connected to it. So what's in a way beyond mindfulness is a world of interconnection and interbeing, where we feel belonging to the world and one with the world. I just want to tell you something really, really fascinating. Out in Israel, we've been doing some research, and it's been research basically on myself as the guinea pig. It's scientific research looking at what happens in the brain and in also my personal experience in experiences of limitless or no boundary. What is it like? What's the brain saying when there's no boundary? I'm fascinated by this research, and I've trained a whole bunch of people that are going through the same research to repeat it. But it just shows that we have a capacity to go a little bit beyond what is my own interest, my own needs, my own issues, problems. We have a capacity to go out of that box into a much wider interconnection with the world. And the research has showed it. It's got published in scientific journals. But that's where I think it's going. More connectedness, more togetherness, and in a way, more liberation.
Yeah, liberation. We don't realize that, you know, how some of our beliefs and thoughts create limitations for us, and to be liberated from the old ways is just it's so freeing. And the notion of the interconnectedness, because I think we all talk about that, you know, oh, we're one, we are one, but we don't really understand it. We don't really understand that, like really feel it, understand it. It's more like a concept.
You're right. You're right. So what I think is it happens in small doses. We don't understand it as an abstract. I agree completely. Enlightenment and so on, nirvana is something we talk about, we read about, but we don't really get a sense of it. That's fair enough. That's okay. But let's look at small things in the daily life. A mother knows completely what her child, a small baby, is telling her, even though the baby can't talk. The mother can read in the baby's eyes what the baby needs when the baby can't say anything. And the reason is connectedness. So if we look more carefully, we will see connectedness, which is basically a spiritual movement. We will see it in our own life in small ways. We go to nature and we suddenly feel really connected. Mark says he does outdoor hiking. I just heard that. I mean, I'm sure that the hiking is a place where you feel in a very natural way connected. What's that feeling? Because you are already connected, but you're just not, you usually forget it. We usually forget how connected we are. As soon as we give it a chance, we begin to feel more and more connected. Same with love. When we love another person, we'll feel that togetherness. It will happen. Their blocks can come, or their distances can come, but we all do experience connectedness. What I'm saying is just open those doors more and more and more all the time. Mindfulness will open those doors, and then we will feel how precious it is to be more and more connected to others, to the world around, to the sky above, and to the earth beneath.
That's beautiful. I love the example that you gave of the mother that just knows, you know, what her child needs. And a lot of times, you know, people walk into a room with other people and they can feel the energy. That's their own connection. Oh, I don't feel so comfortable here. There's a lot of anxiousness or nervousness or whatever it may be. That's connectedness too. But I feel people aren't thinking of it in that way. Mark, you were going to say something?
Oh, I was just going to say, you know, that claircognizance, that sense of knowing, and the importance of nature, what Stephen's saying. I always refer people that it's our original home. We came from nature, and it's our greatest teacher, and it's our greatest healer. And if you want to, you know, connect into that type of energy and that type of knowledge and wisdom, then get your butt outside. So it's, you know, getting into nature can really help that connection that Stephen's talking about.
Completely. But it doesn't, even if you live in a apartment in Los Angeles or Seattle, it's still possible. For example, you can connect to the nature inside you. You can connect to the sky above. It's a blessing. You can connect somehow to the earth when you walk. Even if the earth is covered in concrete, you're still connected to the earth. The earth is big, is strong, it's vast, it holds us. So everyone can feel nature wherever you are. But of course, it helps if you can go off hiking through the hills.
Yeah, and Stephen, that's a great point because some of my clients can't get out into nature. And for those of us that live in like concrete cities, I always say bring nature in, whether it's a plant, whether it's you know, a tree right out in your front yard that you can go hug, and animals too. Animals are very, very great in helping you connect to something that's unseen or unknown through the power of the love of an animal. So animals, mm-hmm. nature, if you can't get out into nature, then bring nature into you through many different forms.
Yeah, and nature is talking to us all the time. We just mm-hmm. need to listen. Part of our forgetting is we forgot how to listen. And the Buddhist teaching is very clear about this. It's opening the inner ear. So you hear what the trees are telling you. You watch the tree. It's expressing something to you, even if it's a tree in the middle of the street. Mm-hmm. It's telling us something. Our own bodies are telling us all the time. They play sort of a music, and we just need to listen.
Yeah, exactly. And remember that there's a symbiotic relationship that does take place. The trees give off oxygen, we give off carbon dioxide, and through that exchange, we're actually connected. So one of my teachings is I always remind people, take the time to disconnect so that you may have time to reconnect. Just like in technology, you get too much going, that computer starts spinning, too many browser windows open, and you're not getting anywhere. Sometimes you got to just shut down, reboot, and log back in. So just for the sake of time, Stephen, because it goes by when we have awesome guests like yourself on, the hour just flies by. So we may have to do like a part two later in 2019, because I could talk about this all day. But what I love about the book, and I want to make sure people can get their hands on the book, whether digital or hard copy, I like how it's broken down, because you have a part one of the book that talks about how to live, or Sila. Part two, how to practice, or now I don't know if I'm saying this right. Is it
Samadhi.
Okay.
Samadhi.
And then part three is how to, so you've got how to live, how to practice, and then how to awaken, which you call Panya, or what's referred to as Panya. And the two chapters that really stuck with me was chapter four, living to work or loving to work, ? And then the 13th chapter is spirituality natural. And for those two really popped off the pages for me, those two chapters. But there's, I mean, you're talking, you know, 43 chapters. So a lot of knowledge, a lot of gold nuggets. So if you're a prospector in search of your own spiritual gold, then I highly recommend to check out this book. And Stephen, where can people find you? Where can they find the book and start waking up to this precious life that you talk about in What's Beyond Mindfulness?
Yeah, well, the book is distributed, as far as I understand, by Penguin, and so that you can probably order it in bookshops, or, of course, Amazon will have it. People can find me through my website, stephenfulder.com. It's Stephen with a PH. Stephen Fulder is one word, stephenfulder.com. I'm going to be doing a tour of the United States in May, teaching mostly in the Bay Area and then in Washington, New York, and Boston. So if you're in those areas, you might be able to look me up through any kind of connection to the Insight Movement or Buddhist teachers or teachings. I'll be in the States. If you can buy the book, you will connect with me in this one planet that we live in. I will feel connected. You are connecting with me. I'll be connecting with you. So that really is the number one way of connecting.
I love it. And you meant Washington D.C., not Washington State,
yes.
Correct? Okay.
Yeah.
I was Washington, like Seattle. DC. Seattle reminds
no,
me.
No, unfortunately not. I'd love to come. Maybe another time I'll come up and visit you. But at this time I'm very limited. I teach so much out in Israel that I can only spend a month in the States this time around.
Yeah. No, it's brilliant. We appreciate the work you're doing. And like I said, we like to say that you are the inspired and the inspiration. Stephen, just you know, as we start to close down the show, what or who inspires you on your journey and what you do in life?
I think, of course, the Buddha inspires me, not as a figure to be worshipped, but the Buddha represents Bodhi, meaning the awakened mind. So that's constant inspiration. And I think now All I can say is the sun and the moon and the sky above and the earth beneath. There's no one human being. I mean, the Dalai Lama is a huge figure. I have had figures in my life, Christopher Titmuss and Jack Kornfield. They've been my teachers. But now it is, like I say, the rain that falls, the sky above, the earth beneath, the tree and the leaves and the animals and the plants. They are my teachers, and they inspire me constantly. I grow my own food. And I talk to my vegetables and they talk to me. There's inspiration. There's inspiration for you right there.
I love it. Well, Stephen, thank you so much for being our very special guest today. Check out the book. There's a lot of good stuff to apply to your spiritual journey, wherever you may be on your spiritual journey. What's beyond mindfulness, waking up to this precious life with Dr. Stephen Fulder. I love the appendix because it has some meditations on how to meditate and how to work and practice and apply. And I always love books like that that are instructional, but also give us that knowledge and wisdom that we're all searching for. Kim, did you have anything else?
I do. I want to thank you for the just incredibly beautiful work it is that you're doing and the message it is that you are spreading all around the world, bringing peace into people's into their own lives and experiences, working with countries across the board. That is beautiful. And thank you. Thank you for what you are doing.
Well, I have to say thank you both as well, because you're in the same journey. We're in the same journey. We need to keep going. We need to support each other in this.
Yes.
Yes, we do. Well, thank you, Stephen. And we'll be back next Wisdom Wednesday for another episode of Inspired Living Radio with Mark and Kim here on the Om Times Radio Network, 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern, every Wisdom Wednesday. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. Until our next soul adventure together, be kind, be caring, be compassionate. Namaste.